servants of the householder came and said to him, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from?" He answered, "An enemy has done this." The servant said to him, "Then do you want us to go and gather them?" But he replied, "No, for in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat among them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest, and at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, 'Collect the weeds first and bind them into bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" Then he left the crowds and went into the house. And his disciples approached him, saying, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." He answered, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is at the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and evildoers, and they will throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their God. Let anyone with ears listen." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Those of you who have been around me for a while know that I'm a very novice gardener, especially with my inside plants. I try really, really hard, but this is the first time in my life that I actually have plants that are thriving at home. And do you know why they're thriving? Because I keep them in the guest room with the door shut and I ignore them. Because I love to overwater them. I want to walk in and water them every day, but if I put them in the guest room and shut the door and kind of forget that they exist and then just go in once in a while and maybe pet their leaves and check if the soil's really dry, then it's okay. But if I see them out, then I want to water them constantly. Now, I do better with outside plants. I've had vegetable gardens before. I haven't quite committed since living in Alaska because you've got to have elaborate moose enclosures, and I haven't done that yet. I'm usually busy in late spring with, you know, a few things around the church like Easter, so I haven't quite gotten on board with the vegetable gardens yet. Now, if you haven't met me before, I'm an amazing planter, and I'm an amazing gardener, and I have green thumbs for days. Just trust it, right? All right. No, I really want to be, right? Like, I'm an outside person. I love to be outside. I love, you know, being around things that bring new life and growth. I'm a nurturer. So it seems like a natural fit that I should be a gardener, right? It just makes sense for who I am, which probably makes it even harder when I'm not so good at it. It seems like grown-ups have plants in their offices. Like, that's just what grown-ups do. And so I want to have that. I want to have that bit of life inside the house during our long, dark winters. But as I alluded to, my inside plants do best when I ignore them for a bit because I'm this chronic overwaterer. Somewhere in my brain, I think plants need watered every single day. They're like people, right? If they don't drink water, obviously they're going to be thirsty at the end of the day. I don't feel good if I haven't had water, so obviously my Monstera needs as much water as I need every day. Now, those of you with greener thumbs know that this is not the case. You have to allow plants to just be, right? To do their thing, to absorb the water in the soil, to figure out their own balance in the world and the support with the water that they need. Now, last week we heard a parable of the seeds. Jesus talked about seeds falling on four different types of earth. Rocky, kind of this rootless, right? Or seeds not being able to take root, covered in thorns, and good earth or good soil. And we settled on this idea that Jesus is the sower of the seeds, and it's not on us to have it all figured out. But if you spend any time working with plants or seeds or dirt or anything that you'd find in the gardening department of Home Depot, you have dealt with weeds. Now, according to Merriam-Webster, a weed is a plant that is not valued where it is growing and is usually a vigorous growth. Or the second definition, an obnoxious growth thing or person. So, Seth, if you need a new insult for Micah, you could just call her a weed, right? Micah, you can use it too. It's fair, right? Well, it's sort of silly to quote the dictionary. It's important to root ourselves. All right. And the idea that weeds are defined as this thing, right? Not necessarily valued as to where they're growing. Weeds aren't innately bad by definition, but that particular time and place for what it is isn't where you want it to be. For instance, if you hate roses and don't want them to be growing among your cucumber plants, then they're weeds. Expensive weeds, but they're weeds. Now, I keep cutting the rose hips out of my raspberry bushes because I don't want rose hips. I don't have anything to do with them. I really want raspberries, but they keep growing among the raspberry bushes. Last week's parable on seeds focused on this idea that Jesus was the sower and the seeds were the disciples or the followers, and that it wasn't up to us to somehow figure out how to save the world. But in fact, that's what we have Jesus, the Savior, for. Excuse me. And this week, we hear this parable about weeds, which leads us to some more complicated understanding of how these weeds and wheat are growing together. But that's exactly what Jesus wants to happen, right? He says, let the weeds grow among the wheat. Well, everyone is asleep. An enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and then went away. To which the listeners of Jesus said, all right, so you want us to go do some weeding, right, JC? And Jesus says, nope, let them grow together. At the harvest, the weeds and wheat will be pulled and separated from each other. Now, if you have a better green thumb than I do, if you're a gardener, this is perhaps the most infuriating Bible story ever, right? I mean, think about the weeds. I think about the idea that sometimes I have to mow my driveway because I have so many weeds growing up through the cracks in the asphalt, right? There's so many weeds that come in where I don't want them to be. And if you are a gardener, you know that those weeds, those plants that you don't want to grow, will grow quicker and faster and stronger, suffocating the plants that you actually want to have exist, much like the thorny branches suffocating the seeds from last week. But for Jesus to challenge folks to let these things grow together in the parable, remember, Jesus wasn't actually telling you how to handle your garden, let you do what you want to do, right? But it's a parable, it's a story that we can pull meaning from. He says this for two reasons. The first has to do with the outside of us, and the second has to do with the inside of us. By letting the weeds grow alongside the wheat, Jesus says to let them intermingle together until when? The harvest, right? And at the harvest, they'll be separated out. Excuse me. Last week, Jesus was the sower of the seeds, and this week, our very extensive farming and garden metaphor continues, because this week, we understand that God, our creator, God, our father, our mother, our holy parent, the one who breathed life into all of creation, from creepy, crawly things, to sea creatures, to lilies in the field, to birds in the air, to human beings, is the great and mighty harvester. Which means, if our Creator is the one responsible for the harvest, for figuring out what is wheat and what is weed, then what is our job? Because, God, if you like, I could give you a whole list of who I think the weeds are in our world. No, really, I've got a list ready, right? I can tell you who needs to be eliminated, right? It's good. I've got it figured out for you, God. I mean, on some days I feel like I could hand God a detailed binder of who I think the weeds are, allowing myself to remain a nice, soft, valuable piece of wheat, right? Surely I'm not a weed. My weed list gets longer and longer as we deal with scary summer drivers, or people who hurt animals, or people who choose to harm others by action or inaction. But our sweet, loving God says, thanks, but no thanks, child. I got this. I don't need your list. I don't need your binder. I don't need your post-it note. I'll figure out the weeds and wheat. You live your life here and now, growing yourself, reaching for sunlight, absorbing the water and digging those roots deep into the soil as a seed of love sown by Jesus Christ. Furthermore, it's not only about the mixture of the seeds out in the fields, but inside of our own beings. Excuse me. Each one of us is a mixture of wheat and weed, our own minds and our own bodies holding both the potential to do good and the potential to do harm. The opportunity to share God's love and the opportunity to manipulate others for our own benefit. Our bodies contain both bits of wheat and weed at the same time, because this is the essence of being a human in the world. And it's up to God to sort it all out at the harvest, not for us to figure out. Our dear friend Martin Luther would tell us that one of his favorite nerdy Lutheran Latin phrases is simul justus et peccator, which means we are simultaneously saint and sinner at the same time. We are simultaneously wheat and weed because we are human beings. We can both wave someone nicely through the intersection, like the traffic circle, and get angry when they don't understand the traffic circle 5 minutes later. We can both give away fish that we catch to our neighbors and allow fish to become freezer burnt and waste it during the winter. We can both haul our recycling to the landfills, separating numbers carefully, and then continue to consume from our earth at an alarming rate. We can both care for others and harm others on the same day. Now, after I finish preaching, and I know somebody said they're tired, I'm almost done, I swear. It's okay, grown-ups are tired too, it's fair. What? No, I don't take it personally, right? I always say, like, people take a nap, you do what you need to do during this time, right? But I'm wrapping up, I swear. But after I finish preaching, after we sing a song, then we'll have this time to gather around the baptismal font and make promises for a sweet little baby, Magnolia Jean Dewey. Now, Magnolia is adorable. You can see her sitting out there, right? And by her name, it suggests that she's going to be an amazing, talented, blossoming flower out in the world, bringing the joy of a sweet-scented floral masterpiece. Surely that baby's not a weed, right? She is the flower. I have no doubt that she will be an amazing person in the world. But part of the act of baptism is saying, God, we trust that you will be with Magnolia and with those of us surrounding her to encourage her and support her in her lifetime, whether she's acting like soft, wonderful wheat or a little more weedy. It's hard to picture a sweet baby as being a sinner or a broken piece of stuff in the world when they're just so stinking cute. But part of being human beings in the world is that we were simultaneously capable of bringing life and joy and sweet-smelling goodness into the world and death and destruction, as well as many points in between. Baptism is the ritual, the thing that we do as human beings where we gather in community and say, God, I don't know what's going to happen in Magnolia's life, but we'll promise to love and support her through it all. And God, we also trust that you're going to be making a beautiful new thing in this person each and every day, even when it would be easier for the weeds to take over. Now, I love baptisms, not just for the sweet babe and her parents, but for the rest of us, to remember our baptisms, the promises that others have made on our behalf, and perhaps the promises we've made for ourselves. We, as a gathered body of people, will make promises to Magnolia, even if you've never met her before in your life. We will promise to encourage and support her in her life of faith, helping to equip her in her journey. We'll be here to teach her formal things like Sunday school and vacation Bible school, but we're also here to support one another, to encourage each other in our own journeys of simul justus et peccator, simultaneously wheat and weed. I wish life was as easy as water the plant or do not water the plant. But just as I have to check on the plants every couple of days and see what they want, see what they need, do they need a little bit more water or just some quiet time behind a closed door? So we too are as human beings. We may need a little more or a little less depending on what's going on around us. Some days we're a little weedier and some days we're a little weedier. And we cannot simply write off others or ourselves as solely bad or solely good, but trust that as human beings, we are designed in God's image, and we're also given free will. We are a swirly mix of all of it each and every day. And we come together in community to remember that when we feel pretty useless, we can be encouraged and reminded of the good in us. We come together in community to remember that when we think we have all the answers, we can be encouraged and reminded that we too have work to do in our lives. We come together in community to hear the scriptures, the story of the faith ancestors that have gone before us, to take the sacrament of communion, and to gather in prayer. God has created each one of us as beautifully designed creatures that need water and sunshine and good soil so that we can grow and blossom into the best versions of ourselves, beings that bring love and life to the world around us, regardless of who we see in the fields. Thanks be to God. Amen.